Well, 4 weeks ago, when 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, when I was told that I was going to be preaching last Sunday, I was excited. So excited that when we were talking about whether or not to have service last Sunday, I didn't understand why we weren't, and I was ready to go. It was time to roll, but no, better judgment, and we made a good decision. But I'm not only excited to be here today because of what the Lord's laid on my heart, but it's just good to be back as a church family with a little bit of sense of normalcy, amen? It's been a crazy, crazy week. For 3 days, I was shuffling ice between coolers, and you know what I'm talking about. You've been there as well, so I'm glad Irma is just about completely in our past, except for some of the leftover effects. And this morning, you know, there's been a lot of firsts this week, but I think there's another first. I think I'm going to be the first person to ever preach on Sunday morning with a camo Bible at Sweetwater. Yeah, amen. Country has come to town. I came to work a few Monday mornings ago, and this was on my desk. And my good buddy, Pastor Jason, said, "Hey, I was at Lifeway, and I saw this, and I got it for you." And so I figured in honor of our awesome music pastor, I would use this fine gift to preach out of this morning. Well, this past week, many of us have bought things that we hardly ever use. Can I get an amen for that? You know, we're in the grocery store or at Home Depot looking for stuff that they only carry a few of, and now all of a sudden everybody, right, is looking for it. I think I went to 15 places and called 50 looking for a generator. And I knew they're going to tell me no, but there was that, you know, hoping that maybe, oh, we found one in the back buried underneath a hamster cage or, you know, whatever. But unfortunately, that never panned out. But some of the things that we used this week were tools with blades. Anybody use any tools with blades this week? I heard chainsaws going off everywhere. You know, you're hearing, you walk out your door in the morning and you're generators, and over that, there's, and you're like thinking, "Lord, I just pray that somebody doesn't cut their leg off today," because most of those people are like us, and they push pens, pencils, and do other things besides use chainsaws on a regular basis. But I brought my knife with me this morning because this came in handy this week. And I'm going to go back to the generator story. Some awesomely gracious and sweet people in our church on Tuesday called me and said, "Hey, we don't have a need of our generator anymore. Would you like to use it? And as well, we have a window air conditioner unit that you can plug in." And I'm like, "Ah, woo, glory," right? So I went over there, and I picked those babies up. And by the time I was able to get it all set up and ready to go, it was midnight. Midnight Tuesday night, and our boys had been sleeping in the bedroom with us. And I shared with the teenagers that one of my sons likes to talk in his sleep. Well, so I'm thinking, this air conditioner tonight will, you know, will not only cool me, but it'll drown out some noises and talking and things like that. So I go out there at midnight, got everything ready to go. Emily had gotten some plastic stuff to put around the open hole where the air conditioner was and taped it up. And I go to crank that generator. Nope. Second pull, the stinking rope breaks. Listen, I'm going to be honest. There was some stuff that almost came out of my mouth. I just took that rope and I threw it down. I said, "I'm going to bed." So we go lay down. And all of a sudden, one of my kids in the middle of the night, about 2:30, I'm laying there. I'm still aggravated. He starts talking to sleep, and he's like, "I think they're about to let the birds down. I think they're about to let the birds down." And Emily wakes up. I go, "I think they're about to let the birds down." So it's just been one of those weeks. And so the next day, my knife, I'm out there. I'm making a new length of a rope that we need to fix my friend's generators. And never got to use a generator, but by the grace of God, the next night I was getting ready to crank it up again after I fixed it. And this little old fan that we have goes, meh, out of nowhere. And I do this kind of like this, like you're watching the Twilight Zone, you know? And I look at that thing, and I'm like, "That means there's power." I'm like, "Woo! We got power!" I go outside, I'm like, "We got power!" Well, my neighbors across the street, they still all have power. They're looking at me, and I'm like, "I think I just made my neighbors mad." But man, it's been a crazy, crazy week. I mean, it's always good to have a sharp knife, but as you all know, a dull knife really isn't much good unless you're cutting warm butter. And in life, we encounter a lot more than warm butter, don't we? I mean, life can throw some pretty tough stuff at us. And just as a sharp knife is important, it's also important that we, as God's people, be and stay sharp. I want us to walk away today with a strong commitment to being committed to staying sharp spiritually, because life throws a lot of things at us that have a dulling effect, doesn't it? I mean, it's all the time coming out of wherever. So this morning, I want to talk about the need for all of us to sharpen up. Let's take our Bibles this morning, one verse out of book of Proverbs, Proverbs 27, verse 17. If you have your copy of God's Word, or even if you don't, stand with me this morning in the honor of the reading of the Word of God. I believe we have it on the screen, maybe not. Okay. This is what it says. Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. You may be seated. That might be the shortest verse ever read to go along with the camo Bible. Would someone put that in the minutes? Sometime near the age of King David, who was the father of Solomon, who wrote this, Israel began making iron weapons for themselves. And by the time that Solomon wrote this, the making and shaping or sharpening of iron swords was a huge national endeavor. The iron sharpening iron process was carried out in a few ways. First of all, there was the pounding of the sword with an iron hammer that would flatten it around the edges like sheet metal. Second, they would use an iron file to create a razor edge on that piece of metal. And third, they would use another piece of iron to rub and lift what was called the edge. And this would have often been done whenever the edge had become dull. Have you ever heard the saying, he's lost his edge? We hear that a lot of times about when athletes kind of get into the later years of their life. We say, yeah, that guy's lost his edge, that little something extra. Well, that started referring to a knife that needed to be sharpened. And when you think about that, when Solomon stated as iron sharpens iron, anyone that heard this at that time would have had a very relevant picture in their mind. It would be kind of like this week someone going, blessed is he with a good generator. It would have hit home, wouldn't it? It would have resonated with us because it would have been very relevant in what is going on in our life. Well, just as the action of iron against iron sharpens, God's people sharpen one another in a similar way spiritually. I think about this church, the friendships that I have, the relationships that I have in this church, and how we sharpen one another through doing life together. And so, since the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, I want us to glean some wisdom today as to why being sharp is important. Well, first of all, I think we need to be sharp, as we see in this scripture, to help sharpen others. We're to be other-minded, aren't we, as God's people? We are to pour into one another, and that involves a lot of times dying to self by putting others first. God wants us to use us to help make a difference in those people's lives around us. You know what dulls a knife? Simple, use. Use dulls a knife, and we are constantly in life in a state of use. Simply living in a sin-filled world, it wears on us. It continually pounds on us. And so we need continual sharpening. We need to be committed to continual sharpening so that we can be sharp and pour into others. Just for a minute, I'm going to take my preacher hat off and just church member Ryan. The people that sit over here on this front row, and my two daughters are in the next row, mean a lot to me. And I know your family means a lot to you. And so it's important to me that you be sharp, because y'all are part of the process that God uses to sharpen them. Y'all are part of the process that God uses, whether it's in the children's department, as Sunday school teachers in the student ministry department, in the adult division, pouring into my wife and I, that help us to be sharp. But it's a two-way street, isn't it? God wants me to be sharp, especially as someone who's in a leadership and pastoral position, because also God wants to use me as he's using y'all as a reciprocal thing. It's a two-way street. God needs all of us to be sharp. It happens by getting godly wisdom and the Word of God poured into us from all directions by others who are sharp. Who are you sharpening? Who's pouring into you? Who are you allowing to pour into you? You see, if we don't want to be sharpened, we get that hard heart, and sometimes we're just not interested in getting sharp. We're just kind of now in a place where we're just cool with being dull. God doesn't want us to be cool with being dull, does he? He wants us to be sharp in every way. I had a neighbor. He was a dear man. His name was Don. Don lived next door to my grandparents for about 40 years until he died. And I was very close with Don because I spent a lot of time at my grandparents. And years after I graduated college, I wanted to move back out to kind of where I grew up, and I just loved that area. And so my grandma called me and says, "Hey, Ryan, you're not going to believe this." She's like, "Mr. So-and-so is selling his house down the street." I'm like, "Really?" I got on the phone and called him up. He says, "Yeah, you want to buy it?" I'm like, "Yes, sir. What are you asking for it?" So I ended up living next to Mr. Don, who lived next door to my grandmother, and it was kind of neat. And Don used to be a tree surgeon. And so here I am. I went to Home Depot and got my Husqvarna chainsaw. And I'm out there working on some trees. And Don is kind of, he was a peculiar guy, but he was a great guy, a great neighbor, because he was always in his yard looking out for your place, always. You could have left your doors open all the time. You didn't have to worry, because as long as Don Dulles is your neighbor. And one day I'm over there with my chainsaw, and Don, he couldn't say Ryan. He called me Ron. He said, "Hey, Ron." And I was over there, and I'm like, "Yeah, Don." He goes, I walked over there. He's like, "Bring me a chainsaw." I said, "Okay." When Mr. Don says, just do it. You don't ask questions. So I said, "Here you go." He goes, "I'll be right back." He walked up the hill, walked in his shed. He comes out with this little thing, and he's over there filing. He's working on my chainsaw. He goes, "Now go cut the wood." So I took the chainsaw over there, and that thing was going through that wood like butter. The problem was my saw had gotten dull, and I didn't realize it. But someone who was more in tune with the chainsaw realized Ryan's saw needs to be sharpened. I wasn't getting the most out of my saw. And I want us to understand that God wants to get the most out of us. And it takes others a lot of times pouring into us and helping us to see those things so that we are as sharp as we can be. We sharpen each other through encouragement. We push one another. We lift each other up. We're there for one another in tough times. This week, I've seen that in action at a very high level. People who had power inviting others over to their house, me included. "Hey, heard y'all don't have power. We got dinner. We want you to come over for dinner tonight. Come over, wash your clothes, charge your phones," all those kinds of things. Our church putting out announcements in the next door neighborhood in Facebook. If you need to come and charge your phones, get in some air conditioning, get some ice, our worship fellowship hall is going to be open from this time to this time. Those are the kind of things that God uses as encouragement to help sharpen. Well, last night, God used several of you to encourage me. Late last night, I'm getting texts. "Pastor Ryan, I just want you to know I'm praying for you tomorrow. I'm praying for you. I'm praying." God uses encouragement in many ways. We sharpen each other through challenging one another. Thankful for godly friends that challenge you sometimes. I know John Holloway means a lot to this church, but John Holloway means a lot to me personally. He is a mentor, and he is a man who sometimes has, as he says, carefronted me. He calls it a carefrontation. God uses carefrontations sometimes to sharpen each other, to help us to maybe see things that we don't see. We're sharpened through giving godly advice. We do it in a group context as we study together in Bible study groups. There are a multitude of ways that sharpening can be done, but it always needs to be grounded in the truth of Scripture, doesn't it? It should always flow from truth. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than a double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart." See, God's word is perfectly sharp. And God's word is so perfectly hardened that it cannot become dull. And it is the greatest sharpener of all. And that's why we need the Word of God constantly being spoken into us and poured, because that is the perfect hardness iron that sharpens all of us. You know, we have the choice to sharpen others and seek sharpening, or just be content. And sadly, sometimes if we're not careful, we are not only sharpening others, but sometimes we can dull others. I think that thing's about to spit on me. Let's do this. Well, how does it unplug? Oh, well, we'll just roll with it. I wonder if when it rained and we had a leak in here, if it dripped in there. I don't know. There we go. Amen. But staying sharp is absolutely critical. Sharpening is key to our personal growth, isn't it? It helps us. It helps us live a more holy life. We need to slice and dice sin away. Sin can create a lot of problems in our personal lives. Hurt, family problems, scars, and the list goes on and on. I want to show my age a little bit. But as a teenager in the 1980s, I watched a lot of TV. And one of the commercials, there was the clapper. You remember the clapper? Yeah. And then there was that other one, the Ginsu knife commercial. Did anybody besides me see that thing about a million times? I mean, good night. We might have some testimonies here about the Ginsu knife. I don't know. But one of the comments was that the Ginsu knife, you may never have to buy another knife. Right? I wonder how that worked out, right? As a matter of fact, Billy Joe, have you ever sold any of those in a garage sale? Or, you know, the garage sale master, anybody ever bring you a Ginsu knife to sell? But being in the Word of God and around godly people has a sharpening impact on us. And those are some of the spiritual Ginsu sanctifying tools that God uses to sharpen us, to help us to become more and more in the image of Christ. To be sharp, it not only takes other believers pouring into us and being in God's Word, it takes us being faithful to a local church corporately. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not forsake the assembling of one another," because God understands to be sharp, we need to be a part of the local church. Also, be careful who and what you allow to influence you. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." That's a dulling effect. Proverbs 13:20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." It's very, very easy to lose our edge. It's very easy. Because that dulling effect that's out there, it just wears and wears and wears and wears. And if the Word of God is not being poured into us and we're not putting ourselves under the Word of God, before long we can become dull and sadly sometimes not even know it. Third, we need to stay sharp for our witness. Let me say it again. We need to stay sharp for our witness. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says this, "Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person." I think reaching people with the good news of Jesus is a lot of what we're about. Can you agree with that? It should be a lot of who we are. And so if our mentality is that we need to be about reaching lost people, then we need to also understand that there's a direct correlation to our effectiveness in that and to our being sharp or our need to be sharp. It isn't just for our benefit and our friends. It's for also for those who do not know the Lord. The sharper we are, the more productive we're going to be for God in all matters. We are called to make the most of our time. And if we're going to effectively make the most of our time, the sharper we are, the more effectively we'll make our time. It's just like that chainsaw. The sharper that saw is, the more wood I can cut in a shorter amount of time. The sharper we are, the more that we can push back darkness, reach more lost people, and each other grow stronger in the Lord. So it's important to be sharp. And finally, there is no man that sharpens more than the God-man. Spending time with the Lord one-on-one in prayer, not just praying and saying what's on our heart, but really listening to God, meditating on his Word, That will help sharpen us like nothing else. He comes into our lives to shape us, to trim us up. He uses his word like a master carver, shaping us in his image. So earlier when I asked, who are you sharpening? Who's sharpening you? Who's pouring into you? Maybe this morning, you're like, you know, I'm not where I used to be. Well, guess what? We can't go back and redeem the past, but we can move forward, can't we? It's time for all of us to be committed to sharpening up to be the best we can. Because you know what? We need sharp iron in the children's department. We need sharp iron across the street in the student ministry. We need sharp iron in our adult ministry. We need sharp iron when we encounter people at Publix and McDonald's and in our neighborhoods. And if we're not sharp, who's going to impact our community? God is calling us to help sharpen one another. A church's strength is always connected to a church's sharpness. May God this morning move on our hearts to be committed to sharpening up, because that's what he wants. He wants a sharp church. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the things that you've laid on my heart as of late. Lord, I thank you for a church, Lord, and I pray for this church, Lord, because there are so many sharp instruments here. But Lord, all of us are never as sharp as we need to be. And Lord, none of us are ever perfectly sharpening others. But Lord, I pray that would be our desire, and we'd lean on you, that you would use us, God, and you would grow us to become sharper than we've ever been, and to help others to be sharper than they've ever been. We love and you praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we stand this morning for the invitation, maybe for you, it's just, you know, I just haven't been reading my Bible like I need to. Maybe I haven't been in Sunday school like I need to. Maybe I need to get back to serving in some place in the church because I've kind of taken a sabbatical. Today, maybe that day that change happens. Maybe for you this morning, the reason that you're not sharpening others and you're not sharp is because you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You know, we're all sinners, and we're going to all stand before the Lord one day. And if we stand before the Lord thinking that we're going to get into heaven because of our good works, we've missed it. The only way a person has eternal life and spends forever in heaven and misses hell is because they realized that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, and that he was buried and raised from the dead, and that they realized they need his forgiveness, and they repent and come to him. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, what are you waiting on? Forever is just around the corner. And you don't want to go into eternity missing the greatest gift ever because the cost is too great to bear. If you're here today and you need Christ, I hope you'll come. Pastor Jason?